on Taiwan Talk this week.
I think it's been pretty good so far. I mean, a lot of people have told me that they see it as being, you know, it's opened their eyes to things that they didn't, they had never thought about in Taipei. And it's made them get out a little bit more.
Lawyer John Eastwood is making waves on social media, not for work, but what he does during his spare time. Eastwood is a fan of Taiwan's old colonial architecture, and he sits down with Taiwan Talk to tell us how he got started and what keeps him going. But before we begin, if you're interested in being a part of the conversation around Taiwan Talk, be a sponsor. Drop us a line at socialmedia@icrt.com.tw.
I was on a regular running path that took me past an old Qing Dynasty kind of courtyard house in the area where I lived, somewhere between Mingda and Shirpai stations. And one morning I went out for a run and it was gone. It had just been turned into a pile of crushed bricks. People had always told me about how there were neighborhoods that used to be filled with Japanese era houses with their black tiled roofs. But seeing something I'd always thought of as being like very lasting and permanent just disappear into brick dust overnight was something that shocked me at that time. And it made me a little bit more aware that I should explore and try to find things before they go.
Okay, so how much time do you put into this? I mean, obviously it's not your day job.
I think it's a factor of, you know, is the weather good? And I usually just do it over lunchtime. But, you know, in the area where I live, there's a lot of old buildings there. And so I'll explore on the weekend a little bit, or I'll take my family out and take a look around. So I would say, you know, I do it casually, but I do it in a fairly directed way. And if I can find, you know, a neighborhood where there's like four or five interesting things, I'll try to photograph those all at the same time.
When you say that something is interesting, what do you mean by that?
You know, they're surviving buildings, for instance, you know, that they have fascinating stories to them. So, you know, if you go to Wanhua, there's the old temples that were built almost 200 years ago. And so you have that epic battle between different factions of Fujian immigrants, and that's fascinating to me. There's a remnant of a bit of fortification that's up at Zhishan Park, you know, from those days when the Zhengzhou and the Quanzhou factions and, you know, various other immigrant groups used to go and set fire to each other's temples or neighborhoods and battle to the death. And, you know, Longshan Temple, which is a place that a lot of people think is being fairly tame now, once upon a time used to be festooned, or, you know, the trees that used to be around it had the bloody clothing from one of these massive clashes around 1853 thereabouts. So, you know, you realize first off that like really dramatic things happened in and around these places.
And how do you talk to the locals around the area? Do you come back to the office and say, hey, I just saw this thing. What do you know about it? How do you get around? How do you learn about these?
Sometimes I hear things. I'll ask about them. Many times the people right around the modern day, you know, in the modern era living around there don't know all that much, or they're busy. They're going on with their daily life and don't need me to bother them. But I'll spend a bit of time, and I often have to compare back and forth a lot between different sources. So, you know, there's some printed books that I've got, but there's also some very good resources in terms of things that are online. And because they can be wrong, as many things on the internet can be, I have to kind of cross-check against, you know, Chinese versus English versus Japanese language sources, especially for the Japanese colonial buildings. It's really, you know, hard. But, yeah, I think that process of going back and forth and being ready for things to be wrong is important. I think a lot of historians run across this.
If you had to pick among all the babies that you found during your 2 years you've been doing this, 3 years you've been doing this?
Yeah, I mean, you know, for example, like a lot of people like the Matsunosoki Moriyama buildings, because those are like, you know, the big, I mean, the man really loved his mansard roofs, you know, and he has all these very fancy, like, you know, the Control Yuan building, the Taipei Guest House, the Monopoly Bureau, presidential office building, and, you know, even in Taichung and Tainan and other places, he has a very distinct style with this grand European look, and that's always interesting to me. I think, you know, one of my favorites would probably be the more modern guy, which would be Tsutajiro Umezawa. And he was an architect that did, he was more active in the 1930s and did more modern things. So you see like the Songshan tobacco plant. Cause he was a guy who worked as an architect for the Monopoly Bureau back in the day. So if you go down to like Jiayi, the art museum there, or the Tainan Art Museum, the Hayashi department store in Tainan, or, you know, as some people call it, Lin Baihuo, you know, but it's those, he had this very cool modern style, and he wasn't really trying to imitate something else. But, you know, Ide Karu, that guy, I think maybe the Taiwan Cooperative Bank, I think that building is my favorite.
Where is that?
That one is quite close to, you know, the it's between Taipei Main Station and Ximending. And if you were to go to, you know, like maybe about a couple of blocks away from the Zhongshan Hall. But if I had to choose another favorite, it might be, I think, the National Center of Photography and Images, which is really close to the Xinguang Sanyue Modiandalo, the Xinguang Tower, across from Taipei Main Station. That used to be, that was built in 1937. It's a local, it was the local headquarters for the Osaka Shosen Kaisha Shipping Company. And that one is both a really beautiful kind of restoration. They tore away like a bunch of garbage that had been placed on the outside and even an extra floor that had been placed on top of it by the Ministry of Transportation during its years as a government office. And they've now turned it into a really, really beautiful museum. And they've rebuilt the pagoda top tower, the little pagoda tower that was on top of it. And it caught me by such surprise going through that neighborhood. I used to work in the Xinguang Tower. And so I used to know that neighborhood really well. And I was walking along and I see this 1930s Japanese building that I had never seen before, because it had been just covered over with 1970s exterior layers of stuff. So, I mean, they just really, you know, I mean, it's a spectacular, that one's a spectacular building.
If somebody were to start this hobby, where do you recommend that they start?
Well, the main government district has a lot of really cool buildings. There's old, you know, there's a lot of architecture hidden in the back alleyways because the Japanese architects, and especially Ide Karu, that I think I keep coming back to him, were obsessed with earthquake-proofing their buildings. And so you find a lot of really cool stuff. There's some modern buildings which it's really strange to see, like it's a modern-looking building now, but, you know, you'll find out it's like, oh, that used to have a very different exterior once upon a time. So like the Mitsui building across from the 228 Park is, that's a little bit weird to suddenly realize that that building is as old as it is. There's a few other things, but if you walk around like the 228 Park, the government district, you'll discover a lot. I'd also say like Ximending, just a little bit further on, decades of shacks and squatter dwellings were removed to reveal a lot of really cool surviving buildings from the 1920s era Nishi Honganji Temple. If you go up to the Dihuajie, there's a lot of really interesting stuff there. Dadaocheng has got a lot of beautiful, interesting, kind of some even really weird buildings, but it's definitely worth tracking down and peering over. Eventually you start to get a feel for the architects and you get a feel for the styles that were very distinctly kind of Qing Dynasty, the ones that are very distinctly Japanese era. And then also, you know, the modern architects. I mean, I do try to, you know, keep up with the people that studied and came over even after the war and built things up in the early, you know, post-war period.
You are listening to Lawyer John Eastwood. Now, if you enjoy this episode, show us your love by leaving a rating on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Hope Goh. Thank you for tuning in.